up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Rogues Gallery. We have been away for a while, and we are back. And one of these days, we're going to get on to a regular schedule, as Jean-Luc Picard would say. Jason Hunt here, sitting in the studio with Mr. Kendall Sin.
Good morning.
And on the Google Ansible, we have Mr. Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
And Christopher Jensen.
How's it going?
And joining us from Fort Worth, Mr. Jeff Hackworth.
Howdy.
And we are going to be talking about the DC television shows, finales. And then our next episode, I'm going to go ahead and tease it. Our next episode, we're going to talk about Supergirl. And we're going to talk about the pilot, because the pilot's out there. I don't think it's an accident the pilot's out there. But we'll talk about that on the next show. But I first of all want to give a shout-out to Mr. Drew Powell. Those of you may be familiar, he plays Butch Gilzine on Gotham. We learned over the weekend that Butch, Mr. Powell, is a regular listener of the Sci-Fi for Chicks podcast, where Heather and Alex sit and talk about the episodes of Gotham. And Heather got a chance to talk to him on Sunday down at Fan Expo Dallas, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I listen to you guys." And of course, it was just one of those, "What?" And he actually remembered that Alex records from outside the United States. So for those of you who have not listened to the Sci-Fi for Chicks podcast, you are missing out. The ladies of the site, the ladies on the team.
That was real close to ladies of the night. That was real. You got real close there, Jason.
That's a phrase you should coin,
ladies of the site.
Okay.
Ladies of the site.
Yeah, I'll take that under advisement. but anyway, yeah. So let's
run that past our ladies of the site, shall we?
I'm not gonna. But yeah, we've got. Let's talk about Gotham first, because Gotham's finale was all sorts of crazy and messed up. And
when I talked to Drew Powell, he would also listen to our show.
Yeah, well, we're hoping that we get some regulars that are listening from that show, because you met in your Penguin cosplay. You had some photos you took with Robin Lord Taylor, who plays the Penguin, who was also down at Dallas. They did
a panel
down there. And so, you know, he seems to be the only one who came out of the season with any amount of success. I mean, really, I don't even know where to start with this episode, because it was just nuts. We've got Fish Mooney, after having been shot in the gut through the walls of a helicopter, coming into Gotham Harbor, and just happens to come into Gotham Harbor exactly where Cat happens to be with a bunch of the kids. So we get a new gang. Fish Mooney gets a new gang.
Lady Gaga-esque wardrobe.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you. Yeah, suddenly, yeah. What was that all about? And I'm assuming that there was a period of time that took place between her escape from the island and when she shows back up in Gotham, because she's got half her head shaved. She's got, I don't know what kind of studs or jewels or embroidery or bedazzling or something on the side of her head.
They're bolts. They revived her like Frankenstein.
It could be. You know, she's doing the General Tang thing, you know, just, you know, nails in the skull. So she comes out. She's decided that she's going to take over Gotham. She is going to instigate a gang war. And everybody else in the gangs of Gotham are after Carmine Falcone.
Yeah.
Everybody wants Falcone dead. Falcone wants Penguin dead, because he realizes the Penguin's been manipulating everybody since the very beginning.
Which is what Penguin does.
Yes.
And the previous episode, of course, Penguin is the one who's essentially started the war between Maroni and Falcone.
And it's been there from, you know, episode one. He's always been playing every side of the fence.
Yeah.
But he cracked it wide open and actually started an open street war.
Yeah.
He plays Maroni. He plays Falcone. He plays Fish. He plays the cops.
And he does it so well. He plays everybody. And when he sits there and, you know.
And apparently he manipulates Butch in some way.
Well, Butch got brainwashed by Victor Zsasz.
Okay.
Tortured and brainwashed by Victor Zsasz in order to be Penguin's new lieutenant.
Little henchman. Which made Fish pretty mad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because yeah. Fish is sitting there going, Butch.
That's her henchman.
Butch, yeah, that's her guy. So when Penguin and Fish end up on the roof of a building and Butch is holding a gun to the both of them, and of course his loyalty is all over the place because... Yeah. He's, you know, his emotional core, he's loyal to Fish.
Right.
His brainwashing has him loyal to Penguin. So what does he do? He shoots them both in the leg. Because he doesn't know what to do. He's like, fine. Bang, bang. You know, he just pops them both.
Now Penguin's going to limp with both legs.
You know, I wonder if I think he got shot in the same leg that he was limping on. But then, you know, Fish is like, Butch, you shot me. Well, what's going on here? And then Penguin throws her off the roof of the building into Gotham Harbor. Bye-bye, Fish.
I don't think that's the last we're going to see of her.
Her name is Fish.
I don't think she's going to be back for season two because Jada Pinkett Smith has already said, I'm not coming back for season two.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that Fish Mooney is dead.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It just means that we're not going to see her for a while. So... They could at some point prime the pump for her to show up maybe in mid season, or maybe the season two finale where, you know, she comes back at the
big
end
reveal.
With a big cliffhanger and
Maybe she comes back with Killer Croc.
Wouldn't that be
there? You go.
Hey, look what I found on the bottom of Gotham Harbor. it wouldn't be any more crazy than anything else. I mean, Riddler's psychotic break in the middle of the episode, which had no connection at all to anything going on in the rest of the season.
Yeah, that was just kind of a random.
Let's just throw this in because we've got him on a contract.
Yeah,
we've got a scene with him.
We've got to have a primary villain next season.
But
it was also kind of an evolution of his arc. You know, there's been a lot of seeds and minor plot threads throughout the season.
Slowly
building him up. So I think this was sort of a way of saying, hey, we haven't forgotten this character. He is developing, so just hang on.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen that taken a few more seasons.
The problem that I have with so much of Gotham is the fact that they are laying in so much of the Batman mythology in the wrong place chronologically.
Yeah.
Penguin, I can understand, because Penguin is an older guy when he's a villain for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Riddler, I'm going to say Riddler is probably around the same age as Bruce Wayne, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger. They're contemporaries. You know, same with Catwoman and all these others. Joker could be a little older. Okay, fine. But to start Riddler's arc this early, and the idea that we're probably going to get Joker next year before we get Batman, it just rankles me a little bit, let's say, because Bruce Wayne's still 10.
Yeah.
He hasn't done his training yet. He's not Batman yet. He's just now found the secret entrance to the cave. Mm-hmm. So, it's there's still a lot of development for his character to even get to that point where his villains start to show up. And if his villains are already all out there, then where does that leave the show in? I mean, I don't think it's going to last 5 years, but, you know, we can't. What are we going to do? Are we going to age Bruce Wayne?
We talked about it early in our show. We talked about there's at some point they're going to have to jump ahead. We just wondered how long it would be. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, because when the ratings get low enough, they're like, okay, they're here for one reason, and that's to see Batman.
Yeah, it's a Batman show without Batman right now.
Yeah, and
which
and
I think is an actual shame, because it did take initially a little bit for me to get into the show. But one thing I did appreciate was the actual, you know, Gordon's storylines, and I liked the idea of seeing it from a non-costumed, you know, hero and villain perspective in Gotham.
By the way, should we take a moment to introduce our cast, our audience to Chris?
I did.
When?
I called everybody out and introduced everybody around.
But he's new.
He's new. Chris is one of our new contributors.
So we're just letting the audience know that if you've been listening to us for a while, there's a new voice on the show.
There is. By the way, there's Chris.
But that's something that we had talked about at great length before, and this is why Tim left the show. You know, like as Tim mentioned, he has given up on Gotham and stuff, and it's because this was going to be a really cool. You know,
a lot of people were expecting Gotham Central, and they didn't get
it. Yes, a lot of people were hoping for Gotham Central.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you take the crazy out of the show, and you focus just on the crime stuff,
the mob stuff.
You get the Falcone Maroni gang war. The crime
and then the Barbara
and
stuff
the
is
corrupt
still there.
Stuff. We'll get into Barbara.
We'll get to Barbara.
Yeah. Speaking of crazy reveals, we'll definitely get to that. But if you take the crazy out and you're left with the corrupt infrastructure, the corrupt cops and the corrupt politics and the gangs and the organized crime and all that, you have a crime thriller.
Yeah.
You have Law and Order Gotham, which we put together that parody opening title sequence with the Law and Order stuff, because everybody was looking at it going, oh, okay, I can wrap my head around this, because this is Law and Order Gotham. This is going to be cops and robbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't.
I think the well is deep enough from that aspect alone, but you don't have to worry about taking the crazy out entirely, because if you look early in the season, just with some of the unusual assassins and stuff that the criminal organizations were using, they had hints and Easter eggs of the potential of where Gotham would go in the future. And to me, that was what was so appealing about the early show before they started going down all the route of developing the superheroes and villains, was that you were going to see how twisted and weird Gotham was to begin with.
Well, right. And I think one of the things that people were, I don't want to say excited, people were anticipating, was that as a crime thriller, as a noir, a comic book noir type of show, focused on Jim Gordon and the Gotham police, and even if we weren't going to get Gotham Central, we could get a crime show that showed us Gotham before the loony bin got emptied, you know, because the weird ones like Joker and Penguin and Riddler and all those didn't come into their prime until they had a really strong adversary in Batman to challenge them. Oh, hey, this is a game I can play now because we have a worthy opponent. Up until then, it was the crime stuff. It was Falcone. It was Maroni, who, you know, now that he's dead because Fish Mooney shot him in the head, what's that going to do for the Two-Face origin? Because Maroni is the one who threw the acid in the courtroom that created Harvey Dent's Two-Face character.
Well, all he wanted to do was retire.
Well, Falcone wanted to retire.
Yeah, Falcone wanted to get out. He is out of the game, and apparently there's some sort of backstory with Jim Gordon's father, which is, again, new.
Yeah.
This is new to continuity.
Well, Jim Gordon's dad in this universe, Jim Gordon's dad was a district attorney.
Yeah.
And was friends, well, had a mutual respect.
Okay.
With
I have a feeling there's something a little bit more there.
There could be. I don't know that we're going to get it, because
we're also
Falcone's
a little bit
gone.
Off book with Thomas Wayne.
A little bit.
You know, who knows? I mean, who knows what they're going to find down there in the Batcave? You know, it could be it could be DC tying into their current line of Earth 2 with him
the current
being...
current line of Earth 2 is gone now because
it's
you
back.
Saw Convergence number 8
Convergence brought everything back. It all really happened, but they're all on their own planet now. But yeah, Thomas Wayne, and that is.
And for those of you who are not aware, if you don't follow DC Comics, this is the 30th anniversary of Crisis on Infinite Earths, which was the big continuity reset button that DC Comics did back in 1986 in order to clean up, because they had so many different story continuities. And everybody was tripping all over themselves trying to keep making sense of it all, that they wiped out all of their story continuities and just smashed every character all from all of these different Earth dimensions into one Earth, Earth One. And so, you know, from 1986 to a couple of years ago, we only had one story universe. And then the New 52 blew up and gave us, you know, we ended up with Earth Two. And this being the 30th anniversary, yeah, we were expecting something fairly big. We were hoping for something fairly big for the 30th anniversary of Crisis on Infinite Earths. And I guess we got something, because Convergence number 8, you know, this 8-issue set that
brought it all back. It all happened.
It wiped out Crisis on Infinite Earth. I was like, yes, let's celebrate it by eliminating it.
Yeah, that has ever happened in any comic actually happened.
So Earth 2, Earth 3, Earth S, Earth Prime, Earth Zero. What else? What all was out there? Captain Carrot's Earth.
Well, I mean,
they're all back.
Well, just in the last universe before the New 52, there were 52 universes. Mm-hmm. So all of those universes are now back in continuity.
Yeah. Every
plus anything that the New 52 introduced.
Everything. Everything from Flashpoint, everything from Crisis, all
everything. I'm just baffled. I'm just baffled by the whole thing. I'm like,
speaking of baffled, let's talk about Barbara Gordon for a second.
Let's get back on task here.
Can I bring up who I think would be an interesting person in the Mob Wars for next season if they go that route?
Who's that?
Yeah.
Black Mask.
Well, see, that makes sense. It would fit, because
No, God, no.
What?
What's wrong, Tim?
No, Black Mask is a great character, but it just perpetuates the whole, let's make everything that happened later in Bruce's life happen before he is even in puberty.
Well, you got a point.
They already had an episode with Black Mask, though, didn't they?
They had an episode with a guy called The Mask.
Yeah, it wasn't the Black Mask character. It was one of those things where it was like, we're going to set up a legacy for eventually Black Mask to take on at some point, maybe. Because that's what we kind of saw with Jerome. We got hints of the Joker with Jerome, but it's not really the Joker, but it's nudge, nudge, wink, wink. We know who this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the same kind of thing. Yeah, but let's talk about Barbara Keene for a second.
Well, first,
she's really the reason. She's really the one of the primary reasons I gave up on this show.
She is
so awful.
I will say that it has. It's not exactly must watch television. You know what I mean? Because of her.
Yeah, I got to, I don't know, maybe the 11th or 12th or 13th episode, and my son was over here. It was our week, and he, you know, hey, let's watch Gotham. And I'm fixing dinner, and he's got Gotham on, and I found myself not even paying attention, and that was when I realized I don't care about this show anymore. This show has lost me as a viewer. I'm sitting in here frying chicken. I'm not watching Gotham. And I'm a comic book guy. I like my superheroes. But, you know, and the fact that I'm no longer emotionally invested in Gotham at all, you know, that was the moment I sit there and go, okay, yeah, I'm done. And I know it was Fish Mooney. And all that crazy stuff on the island with, you know, the island.
Which had nothing to do with anything.
Nothing to do with anything. Yeah. It just fulfills her contract.
Yeah.
It has no bearing at all on anything that's going on in Gotham. It's just, okay, Fish Mooney's arc is done. When she was tossed out, and, you know, she's on the boat, and, you know, Harvey sends her away, her story arc is done. And that whole thing from the time she got captured off the boat and the island and the helicopter and getting shot and all that stuff, that was make work.
Yeah.
That was busy work. Let's just give her something to do to
keep
her in the
show. We have to fit her in X amount of episodes.
Yeah, you have to put her in.
Admittedly, it did give us that one particularly, you know, like ratings boosting episode with her spooning her eyeball out.
Yeah,
that was
pretty
unexpected.
Still,
I agree. It's not necessary, but
yeah. And then Barbara Keene is the other one.
Can we talk about why she's not in jail yet?
Who, Barbara?
For killing her parents.
Is she? Yeah, there are so many different things
she
that are
killed
wrong.
Her parents.
Tim, so much happened in the last two
episodes. Here's the thing. Okay, so we have Barbara getting kidnapped.
Yes.
By
which
an original villain?
Yeah, and up until the point where she killed her parents, that was the most boring story in a series of boring stories told about Barbara Gordon.
See, and I didn't watch any of it. I didn't know. See, I tuned in for the finale just to see what was going on. And when she's sitting there, first of all, you have the ex-fiance demanding emotional counseling from the coroner, who happens to be your ex-fiance's current girlfriend. And then you want to have your therapy sessions at your own house at night. There are so many different things wrong with this from a professional level.
Yeah.
You know, Leslie Tompkins should never have done any of that.
She should have never been
like
examining her.
Professional ethics, code of conduct.
From the beginning, because it's like, she went in there for trauma from being kidnapped and blah, 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 all
right.
That stuff.
Which is not Dr. Tompkins'
which
specialty.
Which is not a coroner's specialty.
And really, I mean, what business does Dr. Tompkins have being the coroner? Because at that point, you know, where was she? She was working at Arkham before that.
Yeah.
What kind of a doctor is she? A coroner. But
she's a television doctor. They do everything.
She's the one who dates.
And you know that because of her lab coat.
Yeah, she's a young, pretty television doctor who has no resemblance whatsoever to classic Dr. Leslie Tompkins.
Nope.
She's New 52 Leslie.
And she's dating Jim Gordon, so she's always at the police station.
Well, she was playing out Sarah Essen's story arc from Batman Year One. Because Sarah Essen was somehow promoted to captain in this universe. So anyway, so we've got Barbara in her therapy sessions, which involves dinner with the ex-boyfriend's current girlfriend. Say that 10 times fast. And she admits to killing her parents before she attacks said ex-boyfriend's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this all comes after 50 Shades of Gotham.
I wanted them to be together. I didn't care. I want the ogre and Barbara to be together and just move out of Gotham.
I wanted them to hear from them again. I wanted them to both die in some sort of weird sex act.
See,
just like off camera and some sort of asphyxiation.
I completely missed all of that. And when I
was
sitting
in
here and watching the finale episode, I realized, I've missed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't care that I've missed it because now this whole thing with the fight between, you know, the cat fight between Barbara and Leslie, which is gratuitous for one thing. And also because I had said from the very beginning that Barbara's arc, because up until this point, she'd been the Mooney, token lesbian girl who gets in trouble, causes trouble for the hero character.
She's been a vaudevillian.
She's a trope character the way through.
She's the girl that gets tied to the railroad
and
tracks.
I said that she had better have a phenomenal payoff on her arc at the end of the season, or it's completely not worth it. And I don't know that this counts.
No, this is just getting rid of her.
Let's give her something. Well, see, how do you recover from this? Because at some point...
You don't.
Yeah, exactly. So who is Barbara Gordon's mother?
Right.
And if it's not Barbara Keene,
why would you name your daughter after Barbara?
Exactly. It was like, wait a minute. You're going to name your daughter after the crazy person.
Yeah, yeah.
Who attacked
Maybe
your girlfriend.
Maybe she dies in some horrific way.
There's still no reason to name your kid after the one who tried to kill somebody.
Yeah. Where did we leave off with Barbara?
I know what they're going to do.
She did kill two people, her parents.
Well, she had...
She's going to have a redemption arc.
Yeah, I was going to say, she has to have some sort of redemption arc and die heroically. Which
yeah,
I'm
so
not
die
interested
heroically,
in.
And then Jim and Leslie will adopt a baby girl who's a redhead, and they will name her Barbara.
Because
remember how they were saved at the last minute by Barbara.
And Jim couldn't do anything to stop it, so he feels bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. Yes. In every way.
Well, but you know what?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't think the show is gonna last long enough for them to even get to that story arc, unless probably of course not. They jump forward.
I think that the season finale of Gotham was full of nuclear powered sharks being jumped over by refrigerators. And this was the worst finale, because the mob stuff was offset by all of this other crazy stupid.
Yeah.
And even the mob stuff, I mean, the shootout in the warehouse, I'm sorry, you've got people with automatic weapons. You have Carmine Falcone and Oswald Cobblepot and Jim Gordon and Harvey Bullock all hanging by meat hooks, cannot go anywhere, and none of them get hit by a stray bullet.
And they escape.
This is comic book physics, I know.
We clearly know where the stormtroopers got their original genetic code. this is so much of this is why I gave up on the show. I mean, this is just the biggest issue I have had with this show from the beginning is that it doesn't know where it's going at all. It's complete. The whole thing has a sense of every week before they shoot the episode, they got together and they said, oh, what the hell? Let's just do this.
they clearly don't have a plan.
What we don't know is that Flash caught all the bullets ever that were in that warehouse.
And it was Jay Garrick.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I really wish that they had stuck with just the criminal kind of corrupt city storyline. Yeah. I mean, to me, that was
the best thing we've said from day one since we started doing this. Your strength and just they're not listening. You know, it's like the strength of your show is Gordon and Bullock.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would watch that show even if it wasn't.
And you get some really good performances out of Robin Lord Taylor and Drew Powell. I mean, we mentioned them just because we've seen them in Dallas, but they are also delivering some really solid performances.
And they belong in the universe.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you can see the beginnings of Penguin's rise to be this crime boss, this major figure in.
I would have loved to have seen the battle between Falcone and Maroni go on a lot longer. I mean, we dedicated so much time to Fish that should have been dedicated to Falcone.
Exactly, especially given the fact that Fish Mooney was not a comic book character. She's original to the show. And there's no reason for her to be there other than the fact that it gives us on television another minority. It gives us another woman.
Yeah. I mean, and you have to think about that when you're making a TV show. I mean, these are things you have to think. And I'm not opposed to what she was. She just took away from her storyline, just wasn't interesting enough.
Yeah.
She also gave a stepping stone for the Penguin.
Exactly. Well, but you could have had Penguin started out as a lieutenant for Maroni. Mm-hmm. You could have started his arc right there.
Because that whole him working as a fry cook or dishwasher.
I still wonder what happened to the college kid he kidnapped.
Yeah.
There was
never any
resolution to that storyline. He kidnapped the kid. He's on the phone with the kid's mother. Oh, you've been a rascal, haven't you? Okay, happened?
I completely read it that he killed him.
Yeah, but we don't know.
I never questioned it again because I was like, oh yeah, he just killed him.
He got the money and did not return the kid?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of the...
I kind of thought that he might have gotten the money and returned the kid. You know, he got some money somewhere.
Well, see, now Oz, it's easy to believe that is that way because Oswald, for all of his faults, is an honorable crook.
Mm-hmm.
He does what he says he's going to do. Now, he does it his own way, but he does what he says he's going to do. He always delivers on his promises. And if he makes a deal with you, he's still nuts. Absolutely.
And he loves his mom.
And he loves his mother. And he said at his panel that if he'd had to choose a mother besides his own,
it'd be Carol
Kane. It would be Carol Kane.
Wouldn't we all?
Oh, sure, sure. And Latka Gravis would be dead. I'm still waiting for Andy Kaufman to show up as Oswald's father. You know Andy Kaufman's still alive, right?
Yes, of course. But it'll be Bob Zemuda. So it,
yeah, but wouldn't that be a hoot, though? I mean, if Andy Kaufman... I mean, all kidding aside, we probably are never going to see Andy Kaufman again. But if he were to come back into Hollywood... And they put him in as
wouldn't be on Gotham.
I know, but wouldn't that be such fun casting? That would be such fun casting.
Now, and then Michael Jackson is the Joker.
I have said several times that one of the problems I have with Ben McKenzie's portrayal of Jim Gordon is the fact that he doesn't have the mustache.
Right.
I want to see the mustache in season two.
You are really stuck on that mustache.
We're not getting... Well, he doesn't look like Jim Gordon.
You want the mustache.
He's got to have the mustache.
You have a thing for mustaches.
There is not going to be a season three. So he's got to look like Jim Gordon at some point. I mean, really, even in Batman Begins, Gary Oldman had the mustache. Mm-hmm. You know, none of it's white. I can't... That's fine. You know, it doesn't have to be white. You know, he's been portrayed as a blonde and as a brunette and whatever, but he's always had the mustache. It's part of the character. It's part of who Jim Gordon is.
Side note: Do we know who is playing Jim Gordon in Batman V Superman?
I don't know that there is one yet.
Okay.
I have not seen anything.
I haven't either. I mean,
that's
going to
be a big
one.
Old bushy mustache.
It is.
I would
love to see
Dark
Sam
Knight
Elliott.
Returns.
Sam Elliott should play.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it?
It'd have to have a separate trailer just for the mustache.
He's old enough now. He could do it. I mean, in terms of, you know, comparative to everybody else, you know, since Batman's been around for 10, 15 years, and you know, nudge, nudge, and wink, wink. Yeah, really.
But can he do anything? But I mean, he's got that his voice is amazing, but it's got that very southern.
Right. That's the one. He might not be able to.
I don't know if he can do any. I don't know if he can do accents.
I don't know that Zack Snyder would care.
Yeah, Zack Snyder doesn't care.
I don't think anybody else would care really either, because this is Sam Elliott.
Maybe we're ready for a southern Jim Gordon.
We all want J.K. Simmons to show up in the Marvel movies.
Yes.
Despite, you know, because he's the perfect, you know, J.J. Jameson.
Yes. Well, okay, let's stipulate that Jim Gordon is from South Chicago.
Sure.
Right?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a break, and we've
dedicated enough time to Gotham. Let's talk about a show that everybody actually likes.
Yes, when we come back, we're going to talk about both The Flash and Arrow, because they are intertwined in the same universe, and they both had their finales, and one of them was a little bit better than the other, and we will talk about that when the Rogues Gallery continues on Sci-Fi for Me Radio right after this.
This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
We know you like the distinguished competition, so you probably also have an interest in the House of Ideas. We have a podcast for that, Level 117, where we talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. We also discuss the overall Marvel Cinematic Universe. We gather in the super secret underground bunker at World Headquarters for recap, analysis, and discussion with a few digressions along the way. No matter what your security clearance, you will be able to listen to our show, Level 117, part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV. That's our YouTube channel where we have interviews, convention panel video, and Week in Review, where we deliver a digest of the news of the week. All part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out. Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV. All part of SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
We are vengeance. We are the night. We are Sci-Fi for Me.
Oh, by the way, I've been through the cast list of Batman v Superman, and I do not see a listing for Jim Gordon anywhere. However, I do see several actors who are, do not have roles assigned.
Do any of them look like they could play a Jim Gordon?
There's a guy named Callan Mulvey,
yeah,
who is an Australian actor. He was born in 75, so he's 40. And he was Jack Rollins in The Winter Soldier. He put a mustache on him, and he looks not too unlike Gary Oldman. Interesting.
Back on the Rogues Gallery, Jason Hunt here along with Kendall Sen.
Hello.
Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
Jeff Hackworth.
Hello, hello.
And our newest rogue, Mr. Chris Jensen.
Hello.
And let's talk about, what do we want to talk about, Arrow or The Flash? I think we want to leave our audience waiting
for The Flash. Flash.
Let's talk about Arrow for a second, yeah. Because Arrow kind of redeemed itself for the season. Season was very, very unbalanced. Identity crisis all over the place. It's almost like nobody knew what to do with them this year, because Oliver can't decide. Well, am I Oliver or am I the Arrow? And then am I Oliver or am I the Arrow or am I Sal Sahim Al Ghul who has just what? No, I get irritated that Arrow has used so many Batman villains, and I know why. Is because they can't use Batman. Mm-hmm. They're doing Batman on TV without Batman. Very much like Gotham is doing, only a little better. But, interesting finale where we reveal that everything that Oliver has been doing with the League of Assassins has been this big, grand scheme to kill Ra's al Ghul. Take over the League of Assassins, give Malcolm control of the League, and at the same
that's
time...
That's a good idea.
Oh sure. Yeah, let's... Yeah.
That's a good idea right
okay.
there.
Okay, if nothing else, this series has shown us that given the opportunity, Oliver will make the wrong decision.
Oh yeah, yes. And he's done that frequently this season.
Especially yeah. with Felicity.
But you know, well, I don't know. I mean, everybody is so happy that they drove off into the sunset together. Off to Coast City.
See Green Lantern.
Well, yeah, and that's something else we're going to talk about in a minute, because I'm excited about that. okay, so we get a little bit of Justice League, Justice Society, Outsiders action this time around. But Oliver definitely has been less than stellar in his choices this season. But I have to give the show the props for not ending the season 3 by burning down the city.
Yay.
Again.
Or making a giant machine to create an earthquake.
Well, I mean, yeah, because look, the end of the first season, you had the earthquake machine destroying the glades and the city burned. You have last season finale, you have the minions of Deathstroke attacking the city and pillaging the city, and the city
burned.
This year, this season, the city didn't burn.
Well, isn't that part of their whole thing? Because I am not a regular viewer of Arrow. I'll probably be much more regular next season. But I've heard that that it's going to be a lighter happier.
It is.
More Flash-esque.
It
Thanks
is. And
goodness.
And I think part of that is going to be, you know, because we have, you know, we've got the Legends of Tomorrow.
And you see that it series. Has that personality.
It does. And so does Supergirl. And I think now that we've gotten past Grimdark, and yeah. I think I'm knocking on wood. Any
I think they're making
thread.
Their television universe a little bit of a brighter place than their cinematic universe.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And yes. I think this is a conscious effort on Kreisberg and Berlanti and Guggenheim's part to take Arrow away from darkness,
yeah.
no parents, and
And turn it into an everything is awesome. Yeah,
and maybe not so much as bright as Flash, but more Batman 66, less Batman Begins.
Yeah,
or maybe not Batman 66. Maybe Batman Returns. Maybe the
or Batman the animated series.
Yeah,
that would be fun. That would be amazing. Like if they could capture that tone in Arrow.
Yeah. And I think they could, because they've done it with Flash.
Look,
and they've done it with Supergirl.
From day one with Green Arrow and just comics continuity and stuff, he was always the cheap Batman. He was always the knockoff Batman.
Yeah, he was.
So, I mean, I don't see why you couldn't do a fun crime show with Green Arrow.
Well, I want to see, and a lot of this is going to depend on what characters they're able to get from DC, but I want to see the Denny O'Neil, Neil Adams, Green Arrow.
That would be fun.
You know, yeah. the hippie well, liberal. I mean, you can't
do
it.
It's going to be interesting because, there's the current scuttlebutt is that the characters, they can't use the Suicide Squad next season because, of course, we got the Suicide Squad movie.
Right.
Yeah, and that's an official thing. That's one of the.
Yeah,
I think it was Guggenheim in an interview or on his Tumblr or something said they got told that's why they had to kill off Deathstroke. Well, comic book death. He's maybe
right.
dead. And come to find out, that's why Harley Quinn only got a cameo in the first Suicide Squad episode because apparently, according to Willa Holland, there was this whole arc planned for Harley. She was going to get a big piece of a story in the Suicide Squad episodes and couldn't because Warner Brothers DC came down and said, no. You know, yep. the suits in the black with the sunglasses came in as, you cannot use Harley.
Yeah.
So,
or neuralized her.
Which is a disappointment because I want to see Tara Strong play Harley.
I want them to figure out what the heck is going on with their universe, with their filmed media. I want them to figure out exactly what's going on. If it is an alternate Earth, awesome. Fine, give us that alternate television Earth, and then we can have a Harley Quinn, and we can have all these different things. They're just an alternate version.
Well, and the irritating thing is, given that Geoff Johns has sat there and said, the TV universe, it's a multiverse. Mm-hmm. The TV universe is different from the movie universe, and okay, fine. And given the fact that we've already got a Flash on TV, and they announce Ezra Miller is going to play Flash in
movies. Yeah, they
have
a Flash in the movies, so I don't understand why
we
couldn't have a Harley Quinn.
Right. Why can't we have Harley in both
places?
And
a Suicide Squad, and that has a different cast of characters.
Sure.
We heard Tara Strong doing the voice of Harley all weekend anyway at the Comic-Con.
Well, yeah, but I want to see her play a live-action Harley for once.
I think if we're going to get that, we're going to get it after they have given us more of a movie universe than one movie.
Yeah, and
yeah,
still. And I think the bubble's going to burst before then. I don't know if they can survive Ant-Man. I mean, I saw, you know, if they can survive Ant-Man, maybe the bubble isn't going to burst. But,
well,
because you had a lot of people mad about the second Avengers.
Well, Avengers 2 was not as good as the first one.
And you had a lot of people ticked off because it had a lot of the same problems that Spider-Man 2 had.
Right.
It was like,
we're
setting up all these other things
and
not
you got
giving
studio,
one cohesive
yeah, you've got
movie.
Studio telling a director.
And you've got Joss Whedon saying, I'm done, I'm out, I'm going to go make Much Ado About Nothing 2.
Yeah,
you don't have the actual box office issues that Spider-Man 2 did.
That's true. That's
Avengers is still over like $1.6 billion.
So as long as they keep making money, the studio is always right.
Exactly. And I can understand if you're doing a certain amount of world building and all of these stories are connected in some way, then you do sometimes have an obligation to show that connection, especially when you do the group. And then you have people sitting there going, in Iron Man 3, why doesn't he call the Avengers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it only works just so far. You have to, you know, it's like Tim says, don't look too hard at the comic book movie.
And I am totally cool with, like, what they did in Avengers 2. I'm totally cool with that they did in Spider-Man 2, except it just wasn't very good. You know, at least Avengers 2 was still fun. You know, but it was, I wanted more, but didn't everybody. Yes, and the thing is, like, I'm totally cool with what they're doing, but the problem is they are spending so much money, and these are such tent poles, that they can't have a failure, or else the bubble's going to burst.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think now that we're moving into phase three, I think the Marvel Universe is starting to show a little bit of stretch marks, just because it's starting to get big.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of the shared, everybody has to be connected to everybody else. In the comic books,
they're not.
They're not. They're not so much. So
they can have their own thing.
Yeah, I think Marvel could afford to spread it out a little bit more and not intertwine so much. But so far, the intertwining has been working for them. So until it doesn't, I think that's what they're going to keep doing, because we're going to see even in Avengers 2.5, or as some people call it, Captain America: Civil War, we're going to have connections to Black Panther, with T'Challa is going to show up in Civil War. Martin Freeman's character apparently is going to be some government official from Britain. Minister of something, who was on the phone with Cassius Claw, Ulysses Claw, Cassius. I've got Cassius. Why Cassius Clay? That's what I'm thinking. But no, Ulysses Claw was on the phone with the minister when Ultron showed up at one point in the movie. And apparently, the character he was talking to on the other end of the phone is going to be who Martin Freeman is playing. And so there is all of those connections there, but you've got so many people in Captain America. You could everybody is calling it now Avengers 2.5,
right?
Because it's not a Captain America movie.
So it's just one of those things where I'm worried about that.
It's also not a DC movie,
right? Which is what we're talking about. But one of them affects as far as
facial hair question.
Go ahead.
A facial hair question.
Okay. Yes, we've already established that Jason likes facial hair on men.
No, Jim Gordon needs to have a mustache.
Right. Does Green Arrow's facial hair not bother you?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it bothers me. And his age bothers me.
He needs to have the goatee. He is a little young, but so is Barry Allen.
I really like, you know, Stephen Amell, but he's too young for my Green Arrow.
Yeah. Yeah, because the Green Arrow that we grew up with,
got to have the twirly
was
mustache
in the 40s. He's got to have the Van Dyke beard.
Yep.
And you know, if he comes back with this whole lighter tone thing, because Stephen Amell has already said that Arrow is done, and he's done wearing that costume, so that implies
changes that are a mist.
With the Green Arrow
with that tone. Yeah, well, see, because in the end we had Thea showing up in the Arsenal costume, and she suggested to Oliver that maybe everybody could call her Red Arrow, and he says, "No, I already told everybody to call you Speedy." So we have Speedy as a sidekick, but that plants the seed when she says Red Arrow. That plants the seed for Green Arrow. Now, the challenge is going to be coming up with some in-story logical explanation for the Arrow, some Archer hero person to show up, and nobody knows it's Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they decide that it's going to do this whole Iron Man thing where everybody knows that Oliver Queen is Green Arrow and everybody's okay with it.
Which, not everybody's going to be okay with it.
No. But it was an interesting finale.
Yeah.
From that standpoint, just because
it was a bit rushed.
Changed so much. And it does reset a lot of things in this show. And also gives us a little bit of a tease. Now, granted, it's not established in the episode that they're driving to Coast City. That was a joke that Stephen Amell came up with in interviews afterwards. But of course, fandom latched onto it. And it was like, yes, 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 Coast City, Coast City. They're having, you know, little, you know, excited, happy dances everywhere, you know, kittens. Yeah. And you combine that with what we got in the Flash finale, where they go to the abandoned Ferris Airport, and Captain Colt says, "Didn't they shut this down?" You know, like he does. And Flash says, "Yeah, one of their pilots went missing." And of course, Twitter just blew up. Hal Jordan! Hal Jordan! Hal Jordan!
And how Barry went to Coast City to get pizzas.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So you got a mention to Coast City. You got an actual in-show mention of Coast City. You've got the mention of a pilot for Ferris Air.
We've already established the color spectrum.
Yeah, the color spectrum is there. Yeah, everything's in place. They're laying the groundwork.
And do we know who's playing Green Lantern in the cinematic universe?
We don't know. No.
Because we all kind of thought that it would be the character of Jon Stewart, which would leave us Hal Jordan wide open in the television.
Which means season
three. Or it could be Kyle.
It could be season three.
It could be Kyle Rayner.
No, it's got to be Hal Jordan. On TV. TV is going to be Hal Jordan, and we're going to get O'Neill Adams. We're going to get Green Arrow and Green Lantern, and they're going to pull from that.
Yeah. No, okay, yeah. I was trying to think of an actor named O'Neill Adams. I'm like,
we're gonna get stories. I hope.
See, that would be. I am gonna tune in for that.
That would be so cool.
And I'm changing my name to O'Neill Adams right now.
It would be pretty amazing if they did come out with a Green Lantern show, and this was a regular thing, right? You know how Arrow is always showing up in Central City and stuff like that. But if it was out of 22 episodes. If 13 of them are crossovers, I'm cool with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and that would give their company some synergy and stuff. The problem is they're getting ready to have 3 superhero shows on CW.
Mm-hmm. 4 if you count Vixen.
4, yeah, but that's what's that on? Is that on Cartoon Network?
That's going to be on CW Seed, which is their online.
Oh, their online stuff. Yeah.
And it's going to be animated, so it's not going to involve as much work for the actors.
Right.
But it's still 4 shows that they're going to be dealing with because you're going to have, 5 if you count Supergirl, because you got Vixen, Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, all on CW, and then you got Supergirl on CBS, and the possibility of Titans over on TNT. So there's 6 shows that could potentially play in the same sandbox.
Right.
And iZombie may cross over, may not.
Vertigo.
Yeah, I don't know that it would so much. Now, and even then, you've got Stephen Amell has said that if Constantine gets renewed, wherever he gets picked up, he would be willing to show up on that show
as
Oliver Queen.
Yeah, he was really lobbying for
it. Everybody was like, let's get Matt Ryan to show up on Arrow.
Yeah.
Because it would fit.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So
I really, really wish CW would just become the DC network. I really do. I really
it would
just
be want, easy for them to do
because it's getting close. I mean, ratings. Flash is their top show, right?
Yes.
Now, where does Arrow rank?
You know, I'd have to look again. I don't know.
I know it's the only show on CW that I watch.
Yeah.
Flash is beating Supernatural.
iZombie is getting good. I haven't watched iZombie.
Yeah, it's doing pretty well. Flash, of course, the is their top one.
Right. That's their wagon.
But of course, the Flash finale.
Should we go ahead and transition into that?
Because we hit a big reset button with the Flash finale.
Pretty amazing.
And like Tim says, if you stare at it long enough, the whole thing falls apart.
Right. But just don't look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't look at it.
Do not look at the time travel aspects because they are don't make any sense whatsoever.
Don't look at
it. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that on the break.
Well,
it just doesn't matter.
The idea here. Now, what I want to touch on just for a second here is the fact that Eddie Thawne, who everybody thought was going to turn into a villain, whether he becomes Cobalt Blue or he becomes a reverse Flash of some sort or whatnot. He keeps getting told for the last 3 or 4 or 5 episodes, you don't matter.
Yeah.
You're the only Thawne that makes no historically, you're not historically significant at all.
Burn. I mean, just burn.
What does he do? He shoots himself dead in order to erase his evil descendant from existence.
Yes.
After which, everybody still remembers that Eobard Thawne existed, and we've got a giant black hole over Central City now.
But that's also after Jay Garrick's hat comes out of the wormhole. And
it was so fun to watch.
And that
was
Reverse Flash is like, oh, I gotta go.
Yeah. Yes, that's my cue to leave.
Yeah. They're like, what is that? That's my cue to leave.
Yeah.
The writing is very sharp.
Why do you think he was so concerned about that, though? Like, I never
really
care,
and I don't think they know.
Flash.
But they're
okay. I'll tell you why he's so concerned. Because right there, they just established that Earth 2 exists.
Yeah.
And that he's fought the 1940s, in this universe, probably 1960s-ish, maybe. They'll push it forward, probably. But he fought the other universe's version of the Flash, and he knows he's going to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's.
I think what they're setting up there is that he lost to Jay Garrick.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Jay Garrick is going to be played by John Wesley Shipp.
Which is going to be amazing for those of us that watch the original.
We
Flash.
Want that so bad.
Yes, we do, because it would be so easy to do.
Alex Desert going to make an appearance?
He's the only one. He's the only one left, because everybody else. I mean, they have been setting this up for the entire season.
Yeah,
for this to happen, for us to go in, because you've got Tina McGee now, you've got the Trickster, you've got the cop. One of the cops from the original show is now the mayor of the city. Did you catch that?
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, the same.
I missed that.
Same character, name.
We don't do the show regularly enough actor. For you guys to give me all these tidbits
that I have forgotten
about.
But yeah, he was one of the cops that was always showing up, right before. And it was the one cop who had kept seeing the Flash. And nobody else saw him. And he was the one that saw him. And he showed up, the same actor and everybody, same name and everything. He shows up. He's running for re-election as mayor of Central City.
That's great.
And the fundraiser where they all got poisoned. He was up there. He's like, "Who are you?" And the Trickster's like, "Don't you recognize me? Don't you remember me?" You know, he was like,
"It's a little nod."
I remember that.
There were so many nods in that episode, the Trickster's episode. It was so much fun. And the finale. Lots of Easter eggs in that one as well. I mean, the time travel element alone, we saw Killer Frost. We saw the Flash Museum. We got a glimpse of that.
Mm-hmm.
The first time for the Rogues to actually officially have the name the Rogues. Captain Cold actually calls them that, and he says, "Everybody owes me a favor now."
Yeah,
because he basically engineers the escape of everyone.
Yeah,
because Wells Thawne has reset the particle accelerator in order to do whatever it is he's going to do to get the Flash to travel back in time.
Yep.
And set up this wormhole so he can get back to his time. Interesting item is that when Barry goes back. I don't know how many of you caught this. When Barry goes back to save his mother, and he's standing there in the hall, and he opens the door, and he sees his older self. Older self has the classic Flash costume that we keep wanting to see all the time.
Yes,
and Sisko even made a reference to.
And looks at his younger self, and just a quick shake of his head and holds his hands up, tells himself, not to save your mother. You can't do it. You have to stay there and let her die. And everybody said, because we were all expecting some kind of a Flashpoint event at that time. And the fact that he stops himself has some people wondering if older Barry went through the whole I saved my mother and ruined the universe thing, and now he's come back again to stop himself from saving his mother.
Yes.
It's a lot of information.
Great Scott!
Yeah.
Yes, this is heavy.
During that one and a couple of the other scenes in that episode, I mean, I was chopping some onions hardcore. Like, they really built the characters up really well. Like,
and
all the emotional connections.
And why did it emotionally get us? Because this show understands that to have a good show that is a top-rated show, you have to give a darn about the characters.
Yeah.
And we do.
And the relationship between Grant Gustin and John Wesley Shipp, you can tell that they have a friendship that is just something that they're using as a basis for the whole father-son thing. And plus the fact that they're both the Flash.
Yeah.
You know, there's that connection. Yeah. There's that meta connection for all of us sitting there watching
as actors, you know, from the get-go, when they sit down, he's like, hey, I've been through this before.
Yeah,
you know, and so they had that to bond with,
and
just
so
as
cool.
human beings offset. And that transcends onto, you know, it's kind of, I've always had the philosophy when making movies, if you have fun behind the camera, because I have made some true crap in my life that people have loved, and they've come back and it's like, oh, it was so much fun. And I was like, really? Because it's really poorly made. And they're like, oh, I didn't even notice it was so much fun. I was like, well, that's probably because we didn't know what the hell we were doing, so we were just having fun behind the scenes.
Exactly.
And I think that has like you can see it on Twitter. These actors genuinely love each other. Like,
and they travel together.
Yeah.
They travel together. They go different places.
They hang out.
Where was it? Willa Holland posting on her Instagram. She's hanging out in Paris with some of the other actors from
there's
different shows, not just Arrow. Of them are hanging out together.
It's cross-pollinization. You know, I mean, how big of a – you know, how mad was – not mad, but he made a bit of a stink on Twitter, you know, Stephen Amell, when Grant Gustin wasn't cast in the –
Flat in the
Justice League movie and stuff. And he was genuinely upset because behind the scenes, that is really his friend.
Yeah.
And someone who he believes is talented.
And Firestorm's his cousin.
Plus, you have a hugely successful, very popular show.
Yes. Watched by millions of people.
Just in its infancy on television at this point. When, I mean, basically the movie guys sat there and said, oh, we're going to steal your thunder.
Yeah,
we know this show is popular, but we're
literally doing it. You guys are TV and we're movies.
Pat them on the head.
Yeah, you guys are cute.
Go
play in your sandbox.
We're
going to go work with this $300 million budget, and you guys can just all go take a hike.
Now, we did see, speaking of $300 million budget, you see that James Wan is officially set to direct Aquaman.
Yes.
Yes.
And I have no idea how an Aquaman movie is going to work. I laughed it off on Entourage. I'm going to laugh it off in real life. I do not know how it's going to work.
I hope.
I know this wasn't on the finale, but can we talk about Grodd?
Grodd was good.
Pretty awesome.
Grodd was done.
And I wonder where he's going to play in the future. Where he comes back in.
Or in the past.
And the scene where he makes Joe point the gun to his head.
I
was really scared for Joe.
Yeah. But see, I'm watching that scene where, you know, the gun is there and Joe is just freaked out of his mind. And it hit me. This is not a Joss Whedon show. Joe's okay.
Well, yeah.
You know, I was there going, yeah, okay, I'm not worried because the Flash won't go there.
No.
I mean, it did with Eddie, but Eddie was making a sacrifice as a hero. That's a completely different thing from,
none of us really, of all the characters on The Flash, Eddie was our least interesting. Yeah. None of us really liked Eddie. The only reason we put up with Eddie was because we were wondering how he fit into the story.
Yeah.
I liked Eddie. The problem with Eddie is that because they painted him as such a genuinely nice person. If you knew anything about the character and what he has appeared in the comic book.
But I love how the show played on that, though. Played on our expectations.
I know, that's just it. You look at him, but at the same time, he was so nice.
Yeah.
He was so pleasant that you were just kind of like, you're kind of boring.
Yeah.
And he almost had Iris.
Well, unfortunately, that's been the problem. Iris has actually been the weak link on this show, not because
she's a little too April O'Neil for me. Yeah, that's
she's a little too oblivious to the people who are lying to her constantly.
Yeah.
Everybody knows but Iris.
That was funny. Everybody in Central City knew who the Flash was except for Iris.
Well, and what? they even said something on one of the episodes.
Yeah, she goes, so everybody knows except me.
Eddie, when Eddie learned that Captain Cold knows Barry's identity, and he even said it. He even said the line. So...
Sorry.
Everybody but Iris.
Yeah.
Because in the and it was funny too because in that scene where Cold and his sister show up and he's still got his mask on, and they call him Barry and he's like, "Thanks, Caitlin."
Yeah.
But she didn't know, and she's like, "He never would tell me," and he's like, "I keep my promises," you know. And you're just trying to, and this whole thing establishes that Leonard Snart is an honorable crook. To a certain extent.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that makes Leonard Snart so much fun. And the dialogue that they give him,
mm-hmm.
especially in that, at that end when he breaks everybody out, and they're like, you know, "My name is Leonard Snart. Yeah, we know who we all are. Yeah, we know who you are. Always nice to meet a fan." You know, and he's just so deliberate and he's so articulate and everything. He goes, "What do you want? A thank you?" Who doesn't like a thank you?
If so Penguin and the Joker teamed up, I mean, if Penguin and Captain Cold teamed up, that'd be pretty cool.
It would be. It would be cool because they're cut from the same cloth in the way they deal with people.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm really wondering how he's going to fit into Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see.
I mean, you've just established that he's a bad guy. And now they say in the thing, you aren't in the future.
Right. And I'm going to say this. Well, they don't say that he's heroes. They says they're legends.
They're legends, right.
So it could be one of those things like on Once Upon a Time where the villains can be villains, but they're villains in service to a bigger cause or whatever. Fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go out on a limb. I am still convinced, now more than ever, now that we're getting Legends of Tomorrow, I am convinced that Brandon Routh was supposed to play Ted Kord.
Yes. 110 Yes.
I talked
about this last week.
Yeah, if we had gotten Ted Kord in Arrow, then Legends of Tomorrow would not have Rip Hunter. It would have had Booster Gold.
Booster Gold.
And you would have had the blue and the gold.
And that would have been so much fun to watch.
And that would have been amazing. I will let you know that I got off as soon as I found out that in this whole convergence thing that they were doing, that in the Booster Gold 2-part series, they were bringing back old Ted Kord. Like the two that had memory of each other from JLI,
mm-hmm.
I went out and I got those. And I am going to say I was emotionally moved by that issue just because all of a sudden it took me back to 7 years old.
Exactly. Because they understand.
They get it.
This is what it is all about.
Yep.
And the guys running the CW shows right now, they get it.
But it's just somebody took Blue Beetle away from them, and I'm really wondering how that happened. Because look at the Atom. That is not the Atom.
No, that's Iron Man.
That's Iron Man. That is.
I wonder, because we've got so many different people in Batman V Superman that haven't been identified yet.
Right.
But I don't see Blue Beetle fitting into that universe.
I don't either. Blue Beetle is so light.
The only thing that he'll be on
TV. That's where he belongs.
Well, I wonder if he's going to show. If Sci-Fi ever does develop that Booster Gold series that Geoff Johns said that they were working on, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, then he'd be on.
Oh, yeah.
Then maybe that's where he's going for that. But that's been in development hell for how long now? I don't think we're ever going to get it.
Booster Gold would fit so much better in the tone that they've set up on the CW.
Unless.
There's always an unless. For those of you not in studio, Jason always gives this look where he gets real serious.
Here's this look.
Unless he has a mustache.
Okay, now. Well, okay, so we've gotten hints about Hal Jordan.
Yes.
We should have gotten Ted Kord, but we didn't yet. If we had gotten Ted Kord, we could have gotten Blue Beetle. Let's say that maybe next year we get Hal Jordan.
Okay.
Mid-season in Legends of Tomorrow, Booster Gold's going to show up. And all that's left is to pull Ted Kord out from the time stream before he gets killed. And then you've got Blue and Gold as part of Legends of Tomorrow going into the second season of that show.
That'd be cool.
And then Green Lantern comes in with a recurring part in Arrow.
And Flash.
And Flash.
I'd be down with that.
So then, who would be on Legends of Tomorrow? Booster and Beetle would be on.
Yeah, Booster and Beetle would come into Legends of Tomorrow at some point.
I'm worried about that becoming just a little bit too big of a cast.
Well, no, they replace. They trade out because I see Legends of Tomorrow being kind of like a Brave and the Bold,
okay,
where you get the anchor characters and then you get the other characters that come into the mix for whatever story, and then they go away.
Kind of like the Justice League cartoon.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like you would just focus on particular.
Or like the old Brave and the Bold comic where it was always Batman and somebody.
Yeah.
Or the Batman Brave and the Bold show.
Yeah, the cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Same kind of thing where you'd have your main set of heroes and you have your secondary set of heroes that would come in and do whatever in their arcs. And I think that's what they're going to do with Green Lantern. I think that's what they're going to do with Booster Gold and Blue Beetle.
Maybe they're doing Citizen Cold thing with Captain Cold. Citizen Cold was when he was a hero in Flashpoint. So maybe because of the wormhole, we're not getting the same Captain Cold. We're getting a slightly modified Captain Cold.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
I don't know how much they're going to want to confuse the audience.
Because Geoff Johns loves Captain Cold.
Yeah.
I don't think they would change him from where he is right now because he's working so good.
Yeah.
Well, it's not too much
as he is right now. Well, but I think that the fact that you could have him continue to be a villain who happens to be on the side of good for this reason, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because he does have that code.
Right.
But he operates by. But I think that, you know, he's one of those characters. I'd be really disappointed if they actually did that.
I wonder who they're going to get to play Vandal Savage.
See, you know, I was thinking about that, and I just do not know.
Michael Ironside. Lance Hendrickson.
Michael Ironside. you know what? Michael Ironside would be pretty amazing to have in there because he would be. Can you just imagine him?
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Just that voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk for a minute about favorite moments from both Arrow and Flash and the crossovers.
In the crossover episodes?
Well, for the season in general. I mean, we've hit some recaps, but I think there's some stuff where we've skipped over. So we're kind of recapping the season a bit, plus the crossovers. What are some of the favorite scenes that each of you have from those shows?
I think we've talked about those ad nauseum.
I like the fact that, well, Chris hasn't had a chance to.
Yeah.
He can mention his. But I, as far as the finale goes, I like the fact that we got to see the Flash Museum.
Yeah.
I like seeing Jay Garrick's helmet. And when he's going up into the wormhole, into the singularity, you know he's on his way to Earth 2.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there just going, we're going to see Earth 2. We're going to be Jay Garrick. It is going to be John Wesley Shipp playing Jay Garrick.
And
it has to. It just has to.
Now we can get into speculation as to what other characters are on Earth 2.
We can do that in another episode.
Yeah,
though,
that's a whole
an hour and 15 minutes here.
That's a whole wealth of conversation right there.
Yes, which we've got all summer to do. So here's what we're going to do.
Yes.
Next episode, we're going to talk about the Supergirl pilot.
Yay.
I think that this was officially leaked, and I'll get into why when we talk about it. But next episode, we're going to talk about the Supergirl pilot and some of the anticipation that we might have for some of the new shows like Lucifer, Vixen, and what's the other one? Titans is in development still. Yeah. We have got
Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, Legends of Tomorrow. So we'll talk about all of that on the next episode. We'll concentrate specifically on the Supergirl pilot on that episode. And let's say we get onto a regular schedule at some point so our audience can be on a regular schedule with us. And in the meantime, if you've got comments or suggestions, if you've got your thoughts on the finales of any of these shows, Gotham or Arrow or The Flash or any of that, you can leave us a comment or send us an email, roguesgallery@scififorme.com. You can find us on all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, Tumblr, YouTube. And depending on what device you listen to us on, we are on iTunes as well as a number of Android player apps. And you can find the latest headlines. We post fresh content almost daily over at scififorme.com. And we have a weekly wrap-up of the news over on our YouTube channel with the show called Week in Review. We want you to check all that out. And, of course, be sure to check out some of our other podcasts, Sci-Fi for Chicks and H2O and Level 117, which is going to come back in their summer edition here shortly. And that's going to do it for us this time. Chris Jensen, our new participant, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Jeff Hackworth from Fort Worth, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Timothy Harfrey. Tim.
That dude.
I use the words.
That guy. That
guy. What does come in? Timothy Harvey is
always a pleasure.
And here in the studio, Kendall Sin.
Good night.
For all of us here at Sci-Fi for Me Radio, I'm Jason Hunt. Thanks very much for listening, and we will do it again very soon.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.